50 years ago, I was giving birth to Clonlar's executive director, Chandra Montgomery Nickel. Happy birthday, Chandra. No, not 50. 53 years ago. Fifty's on my mind because this is the year that we celebrate the 50th anniversary of Clonlar School, and that is a really big deal. About 300-some schools started, that I knew of, started around the same time in the 60s and early 70s as Clonlar, as campus day schools in various parts of the United States. They were independent, non-public. Today, we are the only one. Many of them stopped because of disagreements in philosophy or things that happen along the way. John Holt used to say that the life of us used to be called free schools. The life of a free school is 18 months. And he was right. Many started. But many lasted longer than that by far. But finances are the issue, always have been the issue, since our tax monies support a public system, which is right and just and ought to be. But that leaves a vacuum in the private sector for those who don't want so-called elite private schools. At one time in our life, for many years, over the 50, at least one-third of our students were low-income family students. So we were not aiming in the right direction. As far as financing is concerned, but very much in the right direction as far as what you're here today to do is concerned. Today we celebrate the past, the present, and the future. The past in Clonlar being 50 years old. The present in today being the commencement of students that have been 12, give or take a few years at elementary, secondary schooling or unschooling. The future. Tomorrow is yours. 50 years ago, I'd already been a teacher in Catholic schools and in public schools for 14 years. Then I had children of my own, and that changed the whole vision, as you know. No way was I willing to abandon them to places that I knew from both sides of the desk. Places that were primarily designed by adults and for adults, where no input from kids was sought. Kids were the lowest rung on the hierarchical ladder in the conventional school system, and parents were just one step higher. My husband Jim and I searched for a school for Chandra and her brother Chai, one that would include them and provide them an environment where they could grow and learn naturally, without interruptions, without should-nots, could-nots, would-nots, must-nots. There was no such place that we could find. So we decided to start one. Clonlar is an Irish word. It means meadow of the mare being the female horse. It's the name of a town in Ireland outside the Shannon River near Limerick. And if you visit there, you will see the running meadows right down to the water. So you can imagine, yes, Clonlar was an apt name for that place. We did that to honor my father, John Clancy. He and my mother were both from Ireland. And he gave Jim and me the $4,000 for a down payment on the property on Jewett Street, one house on Jewett Street, right where that line of pine trees next to the parking lot are now. So we named it to honor him. Youngsters learn by imitating the people that are around them, especially the people that they love. That means that the people around them just have to be worth imitating. I positively knew that kids would learn to read, and they would learn to count, because we read, and we count, and there are books, and there are abacuses, and now there are computers. They're not stupid. Of course they're going to learn to read, unless there's some impediment which can be worked with. My major concern, though, was, will they have the time and the latitude to listen to and to hearken to that pulse inside of them, that vocation, that urge, that magnet that pulls them to what they're going to be and what they're going to do and what they were put on this earth to accomplish? That seemed to me to be the really important thing in childhood. That doesn't need compulsory attendance laws. It doesn't wax and grow with a canned curriculum and textbooks and exams. And for 50 years, I've observed over and over again the rewards of having such an environment. I've witnessed graduations like this one. One girl rode into the graduation on horseback. Outside. Of course, we had held it outside that year, gratefully, yes. She was an equestrian. She knew horses from the top to the bottom. She knew all the medication. She gave them the medication. If you've ever seen a horse receiving medication, you'll know what an awesome thing that is. We saw her. All her life was horses. So naturally, she graduated. What? In her best suit? There was a boy who came. He was fully regaled in his clown costume. And he didn't change it. That's the way he graduated. Because simultaneously with his homeschooling, he was going to clown school. And he was graduating from there a few days afterwards. Those are a few that just stay in my mind. Of course. I must tell you that I am... very touched by being asked to be the commencement speaker. When Amy Hennewald asked me and said that the committee had decided to render that invitation, I was so touched, I cried. Because here I am, the person that said for almost all the years we've had graduations, no commencement speakers. We don't need some guests coming in here talking at us to give us inspiration and to give us how to do and what to do next. You are the guests, graduates. You are the speakers. You and anybody you invite to this microphone in the ceremony that's going to follow the presentations, which are also, in my estimation, speaking loudly and clearly about you and about us. It always irks me a little when schools do high and mighty things like, say, we have graduated these doctors and these lawyers and these artists and the, excuse me, they came to you. They came to your school. It's they who are the important ones. It's they who are the commencement speakers at their own commencement. And so I end my talk. Today will be no exception. I cede the floor to the true speakers. I want to end with a poem by Dana Faulds. This poem has worked its wonder all through Clonlara for the past so many years. My prayer is that it will continue to work in you, in what you do. Trust the energy that courses through you. Trust. Then take surrender even deeper. Be the energy. Don't push anything away. Follow each sensation back to its source and focus your awareness there. Be the ecstasy. Be unafraid of consummate wonder. Emerge so new, so vulnerable, that you don't know who you are. Be the energy, and paradoxically, be at peace. Dare to be your own illumination and blaze a trail across the clear night sky like lightning. God bless you.
Just come this way, there's a step. Oh, okay.